Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 922. The topic is diet review and the title is meal timing for unpredictable schedules. So I'm working with a client right now, a male who wants to build muscle tissue. What we're going to go through today, though, can be used for fat loss. It can be used for sport performance. It can be used to build muscle. So we're going to show, we're kind of discuss his scheduling conflicts, his challenges, how we're working to overcome them, and then how you can apply that same lesson to your schedule. So very often, I do run across people who have kind of unpredictable schedules, very changing schedules, very weird schedules. And they often say the challenge they find is they don't eat enough. They usually miss meals. They're tired all the time, so that's a challenge. They don't want to get up early to eat breakfast. They don't want to stay up after work to eat a good meal. So they tend to kind of miss those meals. They miss the meal right when they wake up before work. They miss the meal before they go to bed, and that's negatively impacting their energy. It's negatively impacting their body composition, whether that's, you know, making them fatter than they should be or less muscle than they need to be or want to be. So there's just a lot of challenges to variable schedules. I wanted to go through today as a way to kind of talk through this person's example. They're going to be listening to this, and I want them to kind of hear like the thought process and what we're all going through, what we're going to be doing for them, and then what everybody else can do to use this information. So let's get into it. I think there's a lot to take away from this, even if you have a predictable schedule, just to see what our focal points are, what matters most. Okay, so this person's schedule, it's going to go a little crazy when I throw out some numbers at you, but we're going to be repeating these numbers and kind of talking it through in more detail. So if you get a little lost on me, don't worry, just hang around for a little bit and it'll make more and more sense. So this person's, their work schedule is very heavy on the weekends. Their job is very demanding and it has possibilities for extra time for them to make more money. So they do try to do extra work. They're working through some debt and they're paying for the training as a way to motivate them to keep doing that and as a way to self-care. So they have a good relationship with someone in the fitness industry who had kind of recommended to them whenever they were struggling to work hours, they were struggling with happiness, they were kind of struggling with depression, and said, hey, you know, If you need to work these extra hours, if you need to get yourself out of a hole, why not do some self-care along the way? You may have to invest, you know, say 5% of your earnings back into this, like say training or nutrition or any kind of self-care. It doesn't even have to be, I'm not making this commercial for exercise or anything, but they were trying to push themselves as hard as they could to get out of debt. They kept frying the brain. They would kind of lose motivation. They'd have depression, a lot of negativity. So the person said, hey, while you're pushing yourself, why don't you use a small amount of your time, a small amount of your resource, a small amount of your money to take care of yourself so you can push for longer durations and you can push while staying in a happier state of life. So they don't have to be so miserable and wishy-washy, which never really actually gets them ahead. So this person decided, with that prompting from a loved one, to take care of themselves along the way. Okay, so that's why they're investing into the training, while they're also trying to bust their ass and work like 50-plus hour weeks, trying to work their way through debt. Again, the person's weekend is their kind of their busiest. So we're going to look at actually starting the week as we explain this at Saturday. So weird day to start with, but it'll make sense in a second. So on Saturday, Sunday, and most Mondays, they actually work 12-hour shifts. So it's a kind of off and on physical job. They're definitely up and moving. There's not a lot of sitting, but it's low level activity, not a lot of heavy weights or anything, but it's not a sedentary sit on your butt job. And it's also not even predictable activity level. Sometimes they're more active than other times. So it's 12-hour shifts pretty much for 3 days in a row, which anyone who does that, you know how exhausting that can be. And especially with it being a semi-physical job, there's a lot of just wear and tear and tiring. And they actually work from 12 p.m. to 12 a.m. So that is already kind of an odd time frame for work, and it messes with circadian like sleep rhythms. So that can actually make somebody more fatigued than if they were to work, you know, say like 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and then be able to sleep at kind of normal time frames. So this person is battling a little bit of an uphill battle with that schedule. So Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, they pretty much always work 12-hour shifts. Then on Tuesday, they have an 8-hour shift. And then Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday are options to be off, but they've been trying to pick up an extra 8-hour shift on Wednesdays. So Saturday, Sunday, Monday, 12-hour days. Tuesday, Wednesday, 8-hour days. Thursday, Friday, off. Every single work shift starts at 12 p.m. Sometimes they're done at 8 p.m. Sometimes they're done at midnight. So that's what they're working with right now. So what they were having trouble with was they were just so damn tired that they would get home from work, you know, so on Saturday, for example, they would be done with work at midnight. By the time they got out of work, drove home, it was around 1 p.m., they would just walk into the house and go to bed. They would usually sleep until about 10 a.m. the next day when they had to drag their butt out of bed, take a shower, and commute back to work. So they said they roughly have about a 45 minute to an hour commute. So this is what's typical when somebody works odd hours and they work long hours. A typical night of like 6 to 7 hours of sleep does not cut it. Not at all. They're going to be destroyed. So they're going to need like 8 to 10 hours. Now, they don't need that as much if they focus more on their food. If they actually take care of their food, they can actually feel more energetic, feel less stressed, and less worn out by the end of the day, to where maybe they can get away with 7 or 8 hours where they used to have to sleep 10 hours. So by improving food quality during the day, it lessens their overall fatigue and allows them to sleep a little bit less, which then gives them more time and window to get the food in, to maybe have, you know, one extra hobby or be able to get a workout in, something like that. So a lot of their nutritional habits are causing the fatigue they're having, not only their job. Their job is very fatiguing. The fact that they can't sleep at normal hours is very fatiguing, but it's not those things contributing 100% to why they're so fatigued. There is a percentage of contribution based on poor nutrition. So what our goal is to try to help them eat better, so that way they can get that meal in before work. They can get that meal in after work. And they can also start kind of pushing towards their goals. So this person, their goal is to build muscle tissue. Well, you can only build tissue with food, like protein. I can only build a brick house if I have bricks, right? I can have the plot of land, I can have 1,000 workers, but if I don't have bricks, I don't have a house. So this person, they're wanting to build muscle. They're so tired, they don't really get to work out very often. Maybe it's only twice a week, maybe 3 times a week. But then they're not even eating to support the growth that the 3 times a week might elicit. So there's just a lot of kind of just things cascading and bouncing around, a lot of drop balls, a lot of things that are missing. So what our goal is to get into some type of framework of when to eat and how much to eat. And what we're going to talk about here as we go on is the what that they eat doesn't actually matter that much. People overvalue the what of their food, and they underappreciate the when of their food. So let's go through this. On Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, the 12-hour days, they usually don't work out. Their schedule is pretty much wake up at 10 a.m. and they have to be pretty much out of the house at 10:30 to know for a fact they're going to get to their job and be in the building and clock in by noon. So they get up at 10 and I have them a couple options. One of the meal options is something that I commonly do is a bagel lunch meat sandwich. So what that means is they put a bagel in the toaster. They have pre-sliced ham from, you know, like a deli or whatever. So while the bagel is toasting, they pull the ham out of the fridge. This person puts 2 slices of cheese on their sandwich, and then they like hot sauce. So they're getting all that out of the fridge, getting it ready. Then they also have whole milk. So since this person wants to grow and they're about to go do an active job, we're okay with the sugars in the milk, which is actually considerable. if you've never paid attention to how much sugar is in milk, it's actually quite a bit. So what we have them doing is, while the bagel is toasting, which takes maybe 2 minutes, they get the ham, the egg, the cheese, and the hot sauce and the milk out of the fridge. They buy gallons of milk, but fill it into a, I think it's a quart. Does that make sense? Like a half of a half gallon? My brain's blanking on that. But that's how much milk they drink, is about a quart, so a quarter of a gallon. So that's what they drink. Now, they eat this sandwich, and they drink the milk on the way to work. So they previously used to spend 45 minutes to an hour in a car, but then tell me that they didn't have time for breakfast. Oh my gosh, yes you do. You just didn't know it. So they get up at 10, they make this big old lunch meat sandwich, they drink the milk and all that, they eat it in the car on the way to work. They start work at 12. They said most commonly they can get themselves a break between 3 and 4, depending on the activity of the day, but that's when they have food. So they can get a second meal of the day between 3 or 4 p.m. Now, we have some options. So, for example, at night after work, actually, I'll get into this more detail, but I'm just going to throw something out there right now, is these 12-hour days are on Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So on Friday, I have them cooking a bunch of some type of carbohydrate, whether it's potatoes, rice, pasta, whatever. They just cook that. And they cook some meat. They pre-prepare some meat. So, and like, they can do ground beef, they can do ground turkey, they can do chicken, chicken thighs, chicken breast. Doesn't really matter. We're not worried about too much about the what of what they're eating. We just want some kind of protein and slow digesting complex protein, and we want some kind of carbohydrate to fuel the activity of the day. So they have that made on Friday. They have containers of it. So they take one of the containers to work for them on Saturday for that 3 to 4 p.m. kind of meal. They take an additional container as well for a second meal while at work that they can get in sometime between 6 and 8 p.m. Now, their schedule does have these windows to where pretty much all the time they can eat something in there, but they don't know if they're going to be able to eat at 6 every day, or if it's going to be pushed to 7, or if it's like 7:45, you're cramming it in before like a work shift change thing at 8 o'clock. So their window of time is more so our goal, rather than a specific meal time. And then when they get home from work around 1 a.m., we have another meal option. Now, this kind of depends on what they're feeling like. We either will just eat another one of the pre-prepared meals, or they'll try to cook something a little bit fresh at home, or they might just get lazy and, you know, microwave something. It's just kind of like we have quite a few options, but that's kind of the structure we have. Is on those 12-hour days, they eat something on the way to work. They eat something around 3 to 4 p.m. They eat something between 6 and 8 p.m. They eat something when they get home. This gets them their four meals. Since this is a day that they don't work out, they're not going to have as much muscle tissue damage as they would from a workout day. So their protein doesn't need to be as high. Their calories only need to be high enough to make sure that we give the energy we need for work, and we're not burning off protein tissue. We're not losing growth opportunity or falling behind, basically, in muscle tissue on those days. So those days are actually lower calories than their training days. They don't have as high of a protein demand, and our calorie goal on those days is just make it through work. We're not really trying to have a big surplus of calories because it's not going to go towards anything but fat formation. So Saturday, Sunday, and Monday are actually their lower calorie days, even though they have 12-hour work days. Then on Tuesday, they work from 12 p.m. to 8 p.m., so from noon to 8 at night. And this is commonly on Wednesday as well, if they work on Wednesday, if they can get a shift, depending on work demands and blah, blah, blah. So on that day, they still get up at 10, they still eat their meal on the way to work. They still have the meal from 3 to 4, and they still have the meal from 6 to 8 p.m. Now, if they're going to be done at work at 8 p.m., why don't we have them just wait till they're after work? Well, since they're done at work at 8 p.m., they go to work out on the way home. So they go to a gym around 9 p.m. So if we eat between 6 and 8 p.m., that fuels the workout. Then at the workout, they have an intra-workout drink, which is just basically sugar, like Gatorade, something to kind of help fuel the workout. Then they have a meal at 10:30 at night when they get home from the gym, and this is usually a big-ass meal because they're about to go to bed. So they have all this muscle damage. We pump in a ton of fats, a ton of protein, give their body everything it needs for building blocks of muscle tissue while they sleep. Then, on Thursday and Friday, even though they have the days off, they try to keep the same sleep schedule, which has been a learned behavior for them. Sometimes they would have gotten off on sleep schedule by oversleeping the first day, which then makes them go to bed too late on the second day, which then jacks up their sleep when going back to work. So I've talked to them about remaining disciplined to still go to bed at normal times on Thursdays and Fridays. Even if they have kind of fun they want to do with friends or things like that, they still have to kind of watch a little bit on their time windows. So that way, they can get their sleep regulated internally naturally as best as possible. This then gives them more energy on those long workout days because their body doesn't have to try to recover from weird sleep the previous 2 days. So you want to try to maintain your sleep schedule on those non-work days so that way it makes your body as regulated as possible towards when it would naturally get sleepy, when it would naturally feel awake and energetic. So they still get up at 10 a.m. They still have their first meal around 10:30. They actually work out early on these days at 11 a.m. because they find if they don't do it. So they have to get up and get moving. And typically they don't have anything to do at 11 a.m. on Thursdays and Fridays anyhow. Everybody's at work and there's not much to do. So if they have to run life errands, they'll run them after work. After workout. So they'll work out from 11 to around 12-ish. They eat their second meal of the day around 12:30, and then they go do errands and do life things between kind of 1 o'clock and 5 o'clock when businesses are open. Then they have kind of a meal somewhere between 3 and 5, somewhere between 7 and 10, and they go to sleep around 11 to midnight. So that is their routine. The reason why I wanted to go through all that, I know it's a lot of details and I hope you followed along with it to some degree, but what you found is our wake-up time was consistent. Our go-to-bed time was relatively consistent within a 2-hour window. Their meal times were relatively consistent on work days versus non-work days. And our consistency per day was consistent to about every kind of 3 to 5 hours they were eating a meal. These are the general rules that everyone should follow, even if they have an unpredictable schedule. Even if you have a predictable schedule, is eat within about an hour of waking up. Fuel your activity for the day. That allows you to not feel so damn tired by the end of the day. So eat ahead of your activity. If you're trying to lose weight, eat, but eat a little bit less than like a full, like, meal of maintenance calories. So we've talked about this in past podcasts that sedentary people, people who sit on a butt and do nothing, you still burn 70% of your daily needs of calories by just being awake. So eating nothing means you're in a 70% deficit of calories. That is extreme. Your body's going to feel like shit. It's going to produce a lot of cortisol. It's going to tell you don't do anything, which makes you feel tired and fatigued. You still need to eat, okay? Even if you're not active. You can maybe eat 70% of a normal meal and still promote fat loss, but eating nothing is way too damn big of a deficit. You actually hurt fat loss by eating nothing. Fat is energy, stored energy. Your body has that in case it ever needs it. Well, if you get up and you get active and you don't eat anything, the body says, well, shit, I have to give up some of my body fat to fuel this activity. And you think, that's great, I'm losing fat. No, you're not. You're reinforcing the need for the body to have body fat. So the second you eat a meal and your body doesn't need every single calorie at that specific time, it will save as much as it can to reform body fat and actually create more. So since you created a huge demand of body fat, the body says, well, damn, I better make sure I have a lot of body fat around in case they ever do that again. So by eating nothing and starting your day and being active, you are reinforcing the body's need to have body fat. That is not intelligent. Now, if your goal is to build muscle tissue, well, if I start moving my body around without any energy in it, do you think my body gives a shit about building muscle? No, it doesn't. It's trying to fuel that basic level of activity. There's no surplus, there's no building blocks, there's no bricks to build the muscle with because you're not eating, and it doesn't prioritize that in any way whatsoever. So you got to eat within the first hour of waking up. If you're trying to lose weight, eat roughly, I'm giving you rough estimates here, about 70 to 80% of what a normal meal would be. You're at least fueling the basic needs of the body and promoting some fat loss, but not so damn much that the body's going to fight your process. If you're trying to build muscle, what the hell are you building it with? So make sure you eat within the first hour of waking up. Now, what if you take a thyroid medicine and you say, oh, you know, due to this medicine, I can't eat within the first hour. Fine, just eat as fast as you can, okay, after the hour. The idea is to eat before you get super active. However you need to apply that in your situation, do so. Our next general rule is eat every 3 to 5 hours as your schedule permits. If you just ate and you have a 2-hour window and you're like, man, I could eat now, but I'm going to get super active and I might not be able to eat for another 3 or 4 hours if I don't eat now, but it's only been 2 hours since I just ate, go ahead and eat. The idea is to get frequent meals in during the day. Now, if you get up at midnight, your daytime is technically throughout the night, whatever, don't get caught up in the language here. Just think of, if I'm up and active, I need to fuel activity. So I need to eat within the first hour of waking up. I need to eat at roughly every 3 to 5 hours as my schedule permits during the day. And I need to eat an amount that reflects my activity level. If I'm highly active, I have a high calorie meal. If I have low activity, I have a low calorie meal. Makes sense, okay? So eat more food when you move more. Eat less food when you move less. Try to focus mostly on carbohydrates when you're busy and fats when you're less busy. Then, when you want to work out, use intra-workout drinks to help kind of cover any inappropriate meal timing. So maybe you haven't eaten for 3 hours or 4 hours, and now all of a sudden you want to go work out. That's okay. Just drink some Gatorade while you work out. It'll give you some energy. What if you just ate in 1 hour ago? Well, if you don't feel like you need the energy, you don't feel like you need the Gatorade, then don't. But don't be afraid to use an intra-workout drink, sugary drink, to help fuel your demand of energy need for that workout. You want to maximize the available stimulus of the workout, not feel worn out and so tired that you can't really do anything productive. So fuel the workout so you can get maximal stimulus of fat loss, strength building, muscle building, all the good stuff that the workout can give us. That's our general rules that everyone can apply. Eat within an hour of waking up. Eat every 3 to 5 hours as your schedule permits. Eat an amount that reflects your activity level. Highly active, high calorie meal. Low activity, low calorie meal. Eat carbs when you're active, eat fats when you're inactive. Every meal should have some protein. Then use an intra-workout drink when needed to give you some energy so you can have some kick-ass workouts. Then the goal is to adjust based on kind of what our body's telling us, what our measurements indicate for us. So if we're looking at the body scale, if we're looking at losing weight, well, if my weight isn't going down, I need to eat a little bit less across all of my meals. If my weight is going down, but I want to build muscle and actually gain weight, then I need to eat a little bit more across all of my meals. Don't make drastic changes to a singular meal. Just eat a little less over all your meals, or eat a little more over all your meals. If you have low recovery, you're kind of fatigued, you're tired, a lot of muscle soreness from one workout to the next, eat a little more protein. You can even add protein powder, okay, post-workout. That can help. But just try to eat a little more protein if you're having trouble recovering between workouts. We need to change our typical mindset. Our typical mindset tells us that what we eat is most important. Am I eating organic this, low sugar this, low fat that? Typically, we think of what we eat as most important, and it is not. What we eat matters less than how much we eat and when. If you control how much you eat, calories, and you control when you eat, meal timing, the what of what you eat matters very little. Focus on amounts. Focus on timing. And then just select the best option you have available, whatever that might be. If we get these focal points correct, you'll be amazed at how good you can feel, how good you can look, and how strong you can be. That is a focus that most people do not place enough on. People are going to listen to this podcast. They're still going to get caught up on what they're eating. They're still going to find some bullshit excuse for why they can't eat. They're too busy, too important, too special. But you are not. You are not too busy. You are not too important to take care of your own health. Whatever the hell you think you're doing at work, you're going to take it to an early grave if you don't pay attention to your food. You can do 5 less minutes of work a day to live 5, 10, 15 years longer. And live all of your years feeling better, looking better, being happier. Be careful of the trades you are making in your life. Too often we discredit the cost of health, but we pay the consequences later. So please, take what we discussed in today's podcast and try to put it into your life. I promise it'll have positive results. Okay. Well, if you need any help, if you need anything at all, our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. I'm always here. I'm always happy to help. I greatly appreciate your support by listening to the podcast. I appreciate the people who click like on the podcast, people who share the podcast. I truly appreciate your support, and I truly want this podcast to be what you need it to be for you to live your best life. If you need anything at all, if you have any questions, feedback, suggestions, anything, our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. Awesome. Well, check out more information from us on our social media channels on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. Okay? Well, thank you. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.